Thank the Lord this morning for the presence of the Lord. Thankful for His love to all of us this morning. Written the word on the board, continue. And that is the word that the Holy Spirit had placed on my heart to share with you all today. And like to begin over in the book of 1 Kings with a very familiar story about a man that was feeling pretty discouraged. 1 Kings chapter 19, and if you've never been discouraged, I hope you haven't been, but knowing people, I believe all of us have been in places of discouragement before. And we read about Elijah who was in a place of dire discouragement. 1 Kings chapter 19. And what is interesting about this to lay the groundwork, Elijah had just come from being with the prophets of Baal when they were going to see whose God was real. Remember, they built the altars and they prayed to their gods to send down fire from heaven. And God revealed Himself in a miraculous way to all of the people. When the prophets of Baal had been jumping and shouting and dancing and cutting themselves and doing whatever else, calling on the prophets of, or the gods of Baal, or Baal rather, and Baal was not answering. And Elijah kind of prodded him, just, he was being a little bit ornery, and he said, well, maybe he's asleep, or maybe he's on a long journey. Well, when Elijah prayed, he did not pray some long, eloquent, fancy prayer. But he prayed in simplicity. Now I have prayed in been places when we prayed they have the tambourines going and have the drums beating or have the piano playing. But you know those things don't get God's attention. But when Elijah prayed, it was just a simple prayer saying, Lord, you know, would you reveal yourself? And God sent down fire from heaven. And then the prophets of Baal were put to death. So this was, Elijah was leaving a great victory, great spiritual victory, and then he began to fear for his life because he was afraid that Jezebel was going to kill him. And I wonder sometimes, have you ever left a place just wonderful victory, and almost overnight you just felt such discouragement? And you think, how is this? We know God is alive. We just saw God work a miracle, and all of a sudden we start questioning, is God going to take care of me? What's going to happen? I don't know what the future holds. And people get so anxious about that, and they just saw God work. You know, that's pretty human of us. So Elijah was running for his life, so he thought. And in verse 4, it said he went a day's journey. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and he came and sat down under a juniper tree. We read about some another prophet sitting under a juniper tree, don't we? Who was that? It was Jonah. Remember, Jonah also sat down under a tree and wasn't that a juniper tree? Maybe I meant wrong. Yes, it was a gourd. Alright. Well, he sat under a tree at least. In a place of discouragement. But here, Elijah requested for himself that he must die. And said, it is enough. Now we have someone telling God when enough is enough. You think that's our place to tell God when enough is enough? Have you ever done that? Lord, enough is enough. I can't take any more. That's pretty human of us too, but Elijah was telling God, I just, enough is enough. Oh Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of the meat 40 days and 40 nights. There are many wonderful lessons in this passage. But I want us to understand this morning and look at that Elijah was in a state of discouragement. And he was wanting to just throw his hands up basically and say, enough's enough. I just want to die. Now I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands this morning how many of you all have felt that way. But I'm just tired of life. I'm tired of dealing with the problems of life. Lord, I would rather you just take me out of here. Well, that's how Elijah was feeling. But you know, in that place, the Lord sent an angel to minister to him. In a place where he was weak and he was tired, he'd been traveling, I imagine he was hungry. You know, there's a little lesson for us right there too. You get tired and hungry, you're going to get cranky and discouraged. At least it's going to add to it. The Lord ministered to him when he was tired and when he was hungry and when he was just filled. He was losing his purpose. Do you know, this is the prophet Elijah that had seen many wonderful works of God, but he was losing his purpose. What's the point of me even being here anymore? He felt like he was the only one left. There's no one else serving God. I'm just here by myself. Just take me out. But the Lord came and ministered to him. And then what did Elijah do? He just laid back down. Well, the Lord ministered to you. Get up and go do what you need to do. He was so weary and so tired that he needed more than just one touch from the Lord. And the Lord, and this just exemplifies the mercy of God. Sometimes the Lord comes along and ministers to us in a state of discouragement or a state when we begin to lose our purpose and lose our way. And the Lord comes and ministers, but it's not quite enough to get us going again. And it said the angel came a second time and he fortified him with some miraculous cakes that that angel baked. Because he went on the strength of those cakes for 40 days and 40 nights. Now at the end of that time, I think probably after a day, again, you eat a big meal and by the end of the day, you're ready to eat again. Have you ever eaten a big meal? I've done it plenty of times. Eating a big meal, it's like, oh, I'm not going to eat anything else today. I am just stuffed. I've eaten so much, I don't need anything else to eat today. Well, the hours roll by and pretty soon you go in there, oh, I'm getting kind of hungry again. Elijah got something from God that sustained him to get him to where he needed to go. This morning, there are going to be times in life that you may feel like laying down under the juniper tree. Maybe lost some of your purpose, lost some of your vision, and the Lord's going to come along and He doesn't want you to stay in that condition. It doesn't mean you're unsaved if you get feeling like that, but do not stay in that condition or you will lose your life spiritually. The Lord comes along and there comes a time He wants us to get up and get moving again. The other day, out at Stephen and Chelsea, some of the children, towards the end of, they were hauling a lot of things, and towards the end, you could just see, I won't blame it all on the children, I was feeling that way too. But you feel like you're kind of dragging, right? And we weren't out, y'all have a lot more to do. But we were kind of starting to drag, and I told y'all, we're almost done, but don't stop. Don't stop now, I want them to keep going, because we still needed help. But they were sweating and tired and hot, but don't stop. Folks, I want to encourage you this morning in your walk with God to continue on. To continue means, by definition, to persist in an activity or process. Don't slow down, don't stop. Because I find this, when you've been working hard, you can keep working longer, but if you sit down, it's hard to get back up. Because it's just like your body. And when we left there, Renee had to end up taking over the driving for me on our way home. And I knew if I stopped, I wasn't going to be able to go. But if I could keep going. Do you know, spiritually, we can't afford to stop this morning. Yes, you may have times of discouragement. Yes, you're going to have some knocks sometimes. And some difficult things are going to happen in your life. The Lord is compassionate. And He understands that. But don't give up hope. Don't stop, but continue on the journey. Remember the children of Israel when they left Egypt? God had manifested Himself in a miraculous way. Got them out of Egypt. They left and they came up to the Red Sea. Every time, folks, God gives a victory, the devil's going to try to put something in your path to hinder your walk. Who was it the other day that testified of something God had done, and the next Wednesday they'd had a battle? It tends to happen. Don't be afraid of testifying to what God's done. Don't be afraid of testifying victories. But folks, the enemy is going to contest. The enemy is going to contest every victory that God gives to us. And so the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, and you remember what they began to do? They began to complain. It's like, we shouldn't have even left. It's going to be worse for us now. We should have just stayed. We shouldn't have even started out for God. We shouldn't have made this commitment to the Lord. We shouldn't have made this change in our life. And the message that the Lord sent was, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then the message was, go forward. Go forward. Yes, let me do my job. I'm God here. You're not God. I'm God. Let me do my work, but don't stay in the same place. Go forward. I don't know what everybody is facing here this morning, but I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to encourage all of us to continue. Keep going. Don't lose faith. Don't lose. And if you are losing, if you're having a faith crisis, does that despiritualize any of us? Haven't a lot of us that are a little older had some crisis of faith along the journey? I think we all have. It's part of life, folks, because we're human. But in those times, let's continue on. Let's continue on. The devil wants to block your path. And I don't want to stop short of the victories that we have. I know Thomas Edison is referred to so often in things like this, but do you know his teachers, Thomas Edison's teachers, had told him that he was too stupid to learn anything? And we know that he had over 1,000 unsuccessful attempts to make the bulb, light bulb. Someone asked him one time, they said, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? And he said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. He said, the light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. You know, this morning, spiritually, sometimes we fall short even of what we know God expected in our life. I don't think any of us are so spiritual, and if we are, we're too self-righteous, and we don't see ourselves to say that, yes, I've been strong in the Lord and never had any failures. Along the way of life, you're going to find some times that you could have done better. That you should have availed yourself of more grace. But in those times, the difference between a spiritual winner and a spiritual loser is the spiritual winner is going to get back up with a purpose and a determination that I'm not going to give in to the enemy. So yes, I had a failure here, but I'm not going to stay down, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to continue in my walk with God. Folks, we need to have that kind of determination and purpose in life because the devil is working against you. Just write that down in your mind. The devil is not your friend, and he's working against you, and he's going to contest everything that God wants to do in your life. So our job then and our purpose is to continue on. Scripture in Psalms 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall. It wasn't necessarily talking about falling into sin, all right? But though he fall, though he face disappointments, though he faces reverses in life, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because the Lord's there. So if you feel like you've had some reverses in life, whether it be financial, spiritual, reverses in relationships, or maybe in your walk with God, I want to encourage you to keep walking. Continue on. Don't give up. You know how many people have given up races and given things up when they were so close to the end? So close to the end. continue on in your walk with God this morning. Don't give up. So what are in times of disappointments? Continue on. Jesus said in John chapter 8, and I began to look when the Lord began to just tell you how this process, the Lord began to talk to me about continue. I began to say, what does the Bible say about continue? What are we supposed to continue in, Lord? And I want to read you some of the verses that are in the Bible about it. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which had believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Why do we need to continue? It means that living for the Lord is more than a trip down to the altar. How many of us have made trips down to the altar and we got the victory? Got up and testified, the Lord saved me, or I was struggling, the Lord gave me the victory. Do you know really I found that's just the beginning? Because I've got to go back and live life. I've got to face myself. I've got to face some of the same trials and battles and temptations. But we were getting equipped at the altar. He said, if you continue in My Word, folks, we find we are living in a generation where so many people are departing from the Word of God. Scripture talks about that in this time that people would not endure sound doctrine. Why are so many big churches, we talked about this in the last couple of weeks here, why is it when you go by some of these big churches, what are they teaching? What are they teaching? You know, they've cheapened. So many places have cheapened what it means to serve God. They've lowered the price. And the Word hasn't changed. I want to encourage you young people this morning, continue in the Word. The things that you have been taught, the things that the Bible teaches, it hasn't changed. And our generation is lowering the standard of what they say is acceptable to God. Well, we don't do that anymore. Well, who made the change? Who says we don't do it anymore? It's really irrelevant how many people decide to do it differently. And I'm going to come a step closer to home. It really makes no difference if all the Church of God ministers get together and vote on something. That doesn't change truth. That doesn't change truth. What if all of them compromise? Does the majority make the difference? No. We're to continue in the Word of God. What the Bible teaches, and so many are letting it go and compromising and adding to it. If we continue in the Word of God, we're going to find the power of Christ and the peace of God is in that place. So continue in the Word. Jesus asked some of His disciples when they departed, He said, will you also go away? Or are you going to continue in the Word? That's a decision that all of us are going to have to make. And in times of failure, do you know that we need to have our mind made up? I'm going to continue in the Word. So, I fell short of what the Word said. I fell short. But I don't want to say we don't have to do it now because I'm not getting it. But I want to still say this is what the Bible teaches and Lord, I'm going to keep work until I get there. I may not be there right now, but Lord, by Your grace, I've made up my mind that I'm not going to give up. Do you know this morning that will keep us in a lot of difficult battles is when we have made a decision for the Lord that I'm not going to give up. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do we believe this or not? Are we really going to serve the Lord? Or are we just going to kind of see how it goes? When someone says, well, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm just going to kind of see how it goes, you won't make it. That sounds hard, but folks, we won't. If we are going to make it successfully with all of the pressures of this generation, we have to have our mind made up. Come what may, Lord, I'm going to continue. And you may say, oh, Brother Michael really messed up, but I'm going to get back up by the grace of God. Because the Scripture says, set your heart Fix your heart. So yes, it's tough. Yes, people will disappoint you. So what will we do when people disappoint us? Will we go away? Do you know that probably some of the deepest hurts come from people that say they love God, doesn't it? Family, friends, and saints. Because you know, if the man down the road, if the man down the road hurts you, it's like, well, whatever. You know, I don't have to deal with them all the time. Who cares? You understand what I'm saying. Not that you don't love them, and you understand my point. But it's the people that you see frequently. It's the people you go to church with. And what the enemy does, and I know I've shared this, but some sister ministers told me one time that many years ago, the devil is going to use every saint of God he can to discourage you. And in my early 20s, I was about 22 years old, 23, when this sister told me this, and I didn't quite understand that. I mean, I knew she was right, but, you know, theoretically. I found out it was more than theory. The devil will use anything he can. Even people that really do love the Lord, he will try to work circumstances to cause you to be discouraged or disappointed in them or hurt by them to the point that we end up not continuing walking with God. But why should I allow what someone else does to cause me to leave the Lord? Continue on. Continue on in the Word of God. Set your heart. Scripture in Acts 14:22 said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. How attractive does that sound? We must through much tribulation. If you want the easy road, I'm going to have, honestly this morning, the easy road is not going the way of the world. Do you know the way of the world, there are some things out there that it's easy on the flesh to start with, but there is a, sin has a high price tag as well. Sin brings a whole lot of heartache, so there's going to be trouble in life just because it's life. I would much rather face the troubles of life with Christ by my side than without Him. But He said, continue in the faith. There's going to be some persecution when you choose to serve the Lord. There's going to be family members that are not going to understand why you're living like you're living. And they will try, the enemy will use your family to try to cause you to compromise what you know the Lord wants you to do. Let's continue in the faith this morning. Let's be faithful to the Lord and let's continue steadfast. The scripture in Colossians 1:23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Continue. I didn't know it was in the Bible this much. Continue in the Word. Continue in the faith. He didn't say continue in your own thinking, continuing in your own ways. When you get discouraged, just throw your hands up. It's not worth it. Folks, everything that is worth having takes effort. There's sacrifice, there's time, there's money, there's energy. It means giving up this that I might attain something better. But let's continue in the way by the help of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You want to be saved this morning? Continue in the doctrine. And in the things that you've been heard, He said, take heed to yourself. Another verse there in 2 Timothy 3:14 says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. We see in this generation many people that have heard the same truth that we've heard and that we know. And we see people departing from it. You know what I'm finding? I've been meditating on this recently, is that it seems like when people depart from the Lord and come back, if they're not really careful, they will bring the world back with them. So I'm serving the Lord, but I'm still bringing back some Babel stones with me and things of the world with me. And Folks, we need to continue in the narrow, holy, good way that the Bible teaches us to live. And in continuing therein, it's going to be our salvation, folks. Lord, help us to continue in the way. There is a problem with making exceptions. And I know there are some things that in the Bible, there are some gray areas, right? There are some things that are clearly sin, and there are some things that are clearly good, and there are some areas that the Bible doesn't spell out. There are some things that maybe we could do that I'm not going to lose my salvation over it at the time, but we want to examine the consequences of living in the gray areas. Because many times what happens is we start getting closer and closer to the world and further away from God. We want to continue in a straight path. But one of the things about making exceptions, it's like, well, I know the Bible teaches this and I know this is right, but I'm going to make an exception to that. I think it's kind of like a diet. Maybe this hasn't happened to you. This is confession this morning. But you know, this happened to me before. Been on a diet, watching what I ate, and things were going good. Lost 4 pounds this week, lost 3 pounds this week. I'm going to take an intentional, planned break for one day. Intentional. I have an exception that I'm going to make because there's things going on and just a little, and I'm going to make an exception. And do you know what happened? More than once. My intentional break messed me up. It messed with my mindset. And when I was focused and continuing on, I was able to do it. And sometimes it wasn't even a struggle. But when I made an intentional exception, it broke that focus and mindset. And it caused me not to continue on. You know, in the things of God, that happens that way as well. When we know what the Lord wants and we kind of start justifying and rationalizing to make an exception, and sometimes that exception isn't what causes us to fail in and of itself, it's that it messes with the determination and the focus of going forward. So that's just a caution for us this morning. Be careful about making spiritual exceptions because it can hinder our continuity, if you will, with the Lord. John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That sounds good to me this morning. Continue in my love. Don't get outside of my love. Don't get outside of that place where, do you know, you can tell someone and try to show someone you love them all you want, but do you know if they can move themselves outside of your love, they could say, I come along and say, I don't want anything to do with you, Ethan. Don't want anything to do with you. And if I don't have anything to do with Ethan, how can I ever be a recipient of his love? Because I have put a barrier between myself and him. Jesus was saying, continue in my love. Stay in that place where you're feeling my love without resentment and without bitterness. Folks, hard things happen in life. And I've seen so many people begin to get some resentments towards God even. Some bitterness towards God. Why did he allow this to happen? There are some answers, folks, I don't think we're ever going to get the full answers in this life. There are some things that at the end of talking a little bit about them, it's like, I don't know the answer. I'm not God. I don't know. I don't know why it happened. I don't know why this came to pass this way. But I do know that God loves me and I want to continue in his love because I don't want to turn in to a bitter, angry, resentful old man. So you know what that means for me? It means in middle age, I need to be sure I don't get resentful and bitter middle age, or I will be like that when I'm old. Same thing for you young people. It means dwell in the love of God. And if you're struggling with something, don't give in to it. But rather yield yourself to God and continue on in the good way that God has set before us. Scripture, and we're going to be done here shortly. Scripture in Acts 13:43 says, continue in the grace of God. There's a lot to be covered in grace. But if you have fallen short of the grace of God, you know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if we had a little screen on here with push buttons at each pew, so no one would know who's answering. Said, how many people have fell of the grace of God? A for yes, you know, B for no, and we could kind of get some surveys, you know, anonymous surveys at how things have been going. If you have failed of the grace of God, all is not lost. If you've had some failures, if you've had some things happen that maybe you made some exceptions and you're just not living real close, as close to the Lord as you ought to, it's not all lost. Continue. Progress now in the grace of God. Don't give up. Don't throw your hands up and say, well, what's the use now? There's use because there's tomorrow. There's tomorrow. So continue on in the grace of God. Just like Peter, he fell miserably when he denied the Lord, but I'm so thankful he continued on. I'm so thankful that after that failure, do you imagine what it was like to walk in the room with the rest of the disciples for the first time? I heard of someone, well, I guess I need to be careful too. I heard of someone, it wasn't anybody around here, it was another part of the country. I heard of someone that had a pretty miserable failure in front of a whole lot of people at church. I mean, it was pretty bad. This was rough. I just wondered, how did it feel the next time they walked in the chapel door? They humbled their heart. They did it right. Unfortunately, they've left God now. But at the time, they humbled their heart and they said, I'm sorry. And you know, as God's people, we should be the first to say, don't worry about it. We forgive you. We're just glad you came back. Well, I wonder if Peter, when he first stepped in, all the disciples, you know, they're kind of looking at him. It's like, okay, you denied the Lord three times. The fact of the matter is they were all standing off to the side themselves. But I'm so thankful Peter had enough courage and love for God that I'm going to show my face again. And he showed his face, and the Lord had forgiven him, and the Lord used him mightily. Do not allow the failures of your past to keep you from continuing on in the way that the Lord has for you. There's a story told of Andrew Jackson, and his friends were talking about Andrew Jackson. He, as you know, he was a general, he was president, and some of his old childhood friends were talking about him, and they were kind of incredulous that Andrew Jackson had become president. It's like the guy down the road, his name was, I wrote it down, Jim Brown. They said Jim Brown down the road was smarter and stronger than Andrew Jackson, so why'd he get there? And they began to talk about it, and they said, Jim Brown, he said he was not only smarter, but he could throw Andy three times out of four in a wrestling match. And look where Andy is now. One of the friends responded and said, how did it happen the fourth time? He said, I thought they usually said three times and you're out. And they said, well, that was supposed to be, but not with Andy. They said with Andy, he'd never admit that he was beat. He'd never stay throwed. And finally, Jim Brown got tired on the fourth try. Andrew Jackson would throw him and be the winner. That means then that when you get throwed, don't stay down. You know, you say, well, mess up, you get beaten, you get... Andrew Jackson didn't know when to quit. And that's why he got to where he was. Spiritually, I know some of you all, some of you young people, and I wish I could keep it from you. But some of you young people, as you grow older, some of you are going to find some really hard things happen in your life. If you don't believe me, I remember teaching the children at the Path of Life probably about 24 years ago, 23 years ago, reading some statistics to those children that in this group here, there's going to be so many of you commit suicide, so many of you are going to die, so many of you are going to be in divorce, so many of you are going to be put in jail, so many of you... I don't think they believed me. I remember one of the children that was there, he's a man now, I remember him a few years ago saying, someone told us this, and I was sitting there in church thinking, yeah, that was me. And he said, I didn't believe it, but he said, I'm looking around now, and he said it was true. Some of you young people are going to face some hard things in life, but I want to tell you this, according to the Word of God, you can make it to heaven. You can live a victorious Christian life if you will purpose in your heart, no matter what happens, I'm going to continue on to serve the Lord. And part of that is going to be by continuing in prayer, Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Don't stop praying. Don't give up. And as we all well know the scripture over in Philippians, where Paul was speaking and he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, it is by perseverance and determination and by not giving up that we're going to be able to make it successfully with the Lord. So if you're tired this morning, if you're kind of a little bit discouraged, you've had some failures in your life, it's not over. Don't give up, but continue on in the Lord, and He's going to prove Himself faithful to you.